We have been asking questions for the last 8 weeks, 7 to 8 weeks, as we're in this season of COVID, asking questions, and I pray these questions have been asked and they are being answered with truth and honesty to make sure that we're where we are supposed to be, doing what we need to be doing in this season. We have always, as believers, lived by faith, and it has not changed for us. We will continue, the just shall live by faith. We have never known what tomorrow is going to bring, and not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring has never ordered our steps. Our steps have always been ordered by the Lord, in whom we trust and in whom we believe. So this is just another day for us, another week to go through, because we have been trusting in God. And I know I'm right about it. And if you believe that, send some emoji praise across the screen. Send some message saying, you're right, Rev, that we will continue to live by faith. Well, I have another question for us this morning. I want us to spend some time, and we're going to answer this question. I pray we answer it truthfully and honestly. Here's the question of the day. Are you the one? Are you the one? A beautiful passage found in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. Beautiful passage found there, and we're going to see what the Lord has to reveal to us on today. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Again, the title of our sermon today, as we continue this series of going deeper, are you the one? Are you the one who's willing to walk away from the luxury of the crowd? Are you the one that's willing to do something that's completely different from what everybody else is doing? Are you the one that's willing to do what's right and not just what's easy? We live in a day and time where we have people around us that want to do the easy thing, the thing that seems to be the most plausible for the moment. But the question has to be asked, are we willing to do what's right or what's easy? The hard things in life. T. Harv Eker says it like this. He says, if you are willing to do only what is easy, life will be hard. But if you're willing to do what is hard, life will be a little easier. Which one are we? For some of us, the greatest hurdle that we will have to surmount is the barrier of conscious gratefulness. Conscious gratefulness. And I'm not suggesting that we are not grateful, but I am suggesting that that sometimes our gratefulness is just a byproduct of our expectations of God. That we're grateful because we knew God was going to do it, so we thank him, we say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, God, and we just move along. But we're not actually living in gratefulness. Gratefulness says that I am consciously aware of God's movement at all times. Even when his movement doesn't match my surrounding, I am grateful because I know who God is, and I know that my Redeemer lives. Which one are you today? We're going to keep asking the question, because gratitude is a heart-centered consciousness. Gratitude says that in my consciousness and in my subconsciousness, I am still living in the realm of peace because I know who's completely in control. Gratefulness is not depicted upon my circumstance. Gratefulness is because I know who God is. And when we come in contact with God, we now move into a sphere, an atmosphere of continual gratefulness. Because at the end of the day, it does not matter what's going on. Our gratefulness is because of who God is, and the fact that God sent Jesus allows us to live in this place and space of gratefulness. The challenge for us, especially as Christians that happen to live in America, is that when things don't make sense to us, we're no longer living in a conscious realm of gratefulness. Because we're expecting our gratefulness to come on the table because a byproduct of God doing one more thing, as if he has to prove himself again to us. Gratefulness says that this is where I reside because I know who Jesus is. And the challenge is when we come in contact with Christ, we never move out of this realm of gratefulness. This is where we live. This is where we reside, in a position of gratefulness. So here it is. Are you the one? In our passage today, we find Jesus coming in contact with 10 men. 10 men. We read the scriptures. Let's just read verse 11, 13 one more time. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and all cried out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Write this down if you will. Are you the one who cries out? Are you the one who cries out? Humanity is in need for a divine interruption. Here Jesus is. He's always trying to get to Jerusalem because that's where Jesus is going to die, there in Jerusalem. But on his way to Jerusalem, he comes in contact with a second group of lepers, according to Luke's recollection. In chapter 5, he has an encounter with some lepers. And here in chapter 11, he has some encounter with a group of 10 lepers. Jesus divinely interrupts his journey and has a conversation with some lepers. Listen, I don't know if you see this or not, but God has divinely interrupted our lives too. If you don't believe me, this COVID-19 is interruption. We can't celebrate people like we normally would celebrate. We can't do the normal things we do because it's an interruption. And I believe God has caused us to experience this interruption so that we can encounter him. Not so that we can get the next thing or another thing, but so that we can encounter him. Are you the one who cries out? Sadly, some of us are too busy to seize this moment. We're so gung-ho and caught up on what we cannot do that we're missing what God is trying to reveal to us right now in this space and place. He's offering us a divine interruption, and because he has interrupted our day, are we the ones as willing to cry out to him? Look at the passage. We won't make up nothing today. In the text, Jesus comes in contact with these 10 men, and these 10 men have something in common. They all had a disease called leprosy, right? They had a disease called leprosy. We will spend time in Mac in the morning and deal with the background of this, of Jesus traveling the border between Samaria and Galilee, because it speaks to him calling this man a foreigner because he was a half-breed. That's what they call Samaritans, that they were half-breeds. And here we have these 10 lepers. They cry out to Jesus because they needed some help. Now get this. These 10 lepers recognized who Jesus was. So some of us are crying out, but we're crying out to the wrong person. Yeah. With the pain that we're in, the desperateness that we're in, it calls for us to ask for help. But some of us have been asking for help and receiving help from the wrong entity. These men, in their pain, they recognized Jesus and they cried out to the Savior for some help. Look at what they said. "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." This is very interesting. These 10 men, they all had the same illness. They all had the same conversation. They all had the same verbiage to God because they needed some help. This is very interesting. that here they are. They stood at a distance. Somebody say distancing just didn't start now with COVID-19. There was distancing going on in ancient days. So they at a distance, they cried out. They respected God because they understood. They respected Christ, and they understood the ailment that they had. Not they didn't have distance from Christ because they didn't want to get Christ sick. They had distance from Christ because they wanted to respect, because they knew who Jesus was. Listen, some of us don't even have respect, let alone for the Lord's house, respect for the word of God, respect for who Jesus is. And so we find ourselves, knowing that God is with us, still doing things to satisfy our flesh. Where's your respect level, everybody? Where's your respect level? Are you the one that's willing to cry out? Now, when you cry, make sure you're crying out to the right person. Because we keep crying out to the wrong person. They keep showing up, but they don't show up to help us out. They show up just to look and see. But are you the one that's willing to cry? I have another question for you. Are you the one who was cleansed? Look at the passage. When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Please know and notice that Jesus saw them seeing him. So they saw Jesus. Jesus noticed they were looking at him too. So this is just understand that God knows every inkling of a situation that you're dealing with. He sees all. He knows all. He's never caught off guard in these divine interruption moments. He does these things intentionally. And here they are. He says to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." This allows us to understand that Christ recognized the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. In Leviticus 13 and 14, read that at your leisure, you will see where the law says if you had leprosy, you had to go present yourself to the priest, because the priest was not only the one that did the sacrificing, but the priest was the doctor of the day too. So the priest would announce everybody that you were either cleansed or you should still be pushed away from the village. So the priest had a lot of authority. And so Jesus is showing everybody, even us today, that he recognizes what God put in place in talking to Moses to give the law to the people. Yet we also see that not only he recognizes what the law, Christ recognized who he is. And he says to us, as Matthew describes, he did not come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Are you the one who was cleansed? Look at the passage. As they went, they were cleansed. This disease of leprosy is a bacterial disease. And so it gets in a person's system. It has been estimated that you can have a leprosy, but you cannot show any signs for up to 20 years. It lies dormant in a person's body. And it is contagious through droplets. So if you happen to spit on someone, they could take on this virus and not even know that they have the virus. For some people, depending upon their DNA, for up to 20 years, this sickness, this bacteria would eat the person's insides, their respiration system, and it caused their limbs to not have the blood flow. That's why people with leprosy, they would lose fingers and lose arms. Nose would come off. Skin would peel because it's a bacteria eating them from the inside out. And these men recognized Jesus and cried out for some pity. Why? Because they're in pain. They're in pain. We don't know that many people that may be sick with leprosy today, but we know some people that are sick with leprosy of sin. There's a pain. There's an illness on the inside that manifests in all of us in different ways. Everybody didn't lose a limb. Everybody that has the sickness of leprosy, the sin of leprosy, we don't all sin the same way, but we all have some issues because we're all crying out because this pain. This pain is inside. And he says to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Listen, y'all, there's something about us being obedient to God in the midst of a horrible circumstance. we've still, as believers, got to find ourselves walking in complete obedience to God no matter what's going on around us. Don't look at anybody. Look at me. Look at me. Some of us are guilty of half obedience. And what we know is that half obedience is disobedience. And we're wondering, why are we not experiencing the joy in life, the joy of his salvation? It's because we're not fully functioning in our obedience to God. These 10 men cried out for help. And the help that God gives them in this particular situation is different from how he answered the lepers in chapter 5. In this situation, he didn't touch them. All he told them to do was a directive. He told them to go and show yourselves. So they then had to make a conscious decision. Am I going to trust God to go ahead and leave? Or am I going to sit here and try to question why you didn't do it like you did it for other folks? The text says they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. He realized that what they needed to walk out and see at this particular moment, they needed to walk out their faith. And as they went, they were cleansed. Are you the one who was cleansed? If you have been cleansed, it's a cause for us to have what we'll call for the morning a moment of awakening. Because the text goes on. Look at the text. It keeps reading and it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Look at verse 16. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. This man had what we would call an awakening. An awakening is the picture of you being so focused in a moment, and a moment of realization, a moment, an eye-opening, an awe moment happens, and you realize that where you were is completely different from where you are now. Something supernatural has happened in the process of some steps. And he was so aware that he says, something's different. One of them. So here's my question. Are you the one who comes back? Are you the one who comes back? And I challenge this because it's so easy to get caught up in the moment. Seizing that moment, you know the Latin phrase, carpe diem, we seize that moment, that we miss the real moment. You see, because we want that, we think the moment is a moment of celebration when we get what we want it to have, and we think that's it. That's not all God is trying to reveal to us. But he has what we call a moment of awakening. Even in his condition, he understands that something else has happened, and it happened sooner than I thought it was going to happen. You see, they thought that the cleansing would happen once the priest said it. But they didn't have in mind that Jesus is. The priest was already speaking. The priest had already spoken. The priest had already said they were... put the healing out there. He just wanted them to walk it out. And then once they saw it, it was now their responsibility to not go on to the priest to have a human man say that they were already cleansed, but the priest had already spoken the cleansing over them. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we were already healed. The priest had already given it to him. But are you the one that's willing to come back? Look at what happens. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God with a loud voice. Look at what else he did. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Listen. There comes a moment in all of our lives that we've got to care less about what people have to say. You know, that I mean, it's. I think this is it. I think we may be all different ages and different seasons in lives, but I think this is a season for every Christian to care less about what somebody has to say, especially about what they have to say and how you worship and thank God. I just think the day is over. As a matter of fact, it's been over for a while, but now it's for real over. I mean, it's no play. It's for real, that we should not be concerned with how people appreciate us appreciating God. Because we know that our gratitude is not for anything for them. I could care less if you don't like how I sound or how I do what I do. I know it's bad English, but it ain't for you. Our adoration, our thanksgiving is to God and to God alone. And this leper, once having lived in pain and now he's pain-free, turns around and gives thanks to God so hard that he throws himself. This grown man throws himself at another man's feet. And here you are, knowing that it's God that's kept you from giving up. Knowing God has released you from the pain that you have suffered from, the pains of depression and anxiety, the pains of being left out and not remembered, and you're going to let, because people looking at you, stop you from giving God what he deserves out of you? Shame on you! When we consider the power of God and what he's done for us, nothing should stop us from giving him what he's worthy of out of us. Look at the text that said that he turns around, praising God, and with a loud voice. I know some of us like church to be silent. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let everyone to be. That's only one verse that's in the Bible talking about being silent temple, and there's a context around that. We completely miss the context. So we can't use that for coming to the house of the Lord and being silent. But you can't beat us being loud at the football game. I mean, we're the loudest ones running out of the house, screaming somebody made a touchdown. And that doesn't do us any good. We're not going to make any money off of it, not going to benefit us at all, but we out running. Some of us couldn't miss the special about Michael Jordan. I got to watch it. Why you got to watch it? Why do you have to watch it? You don't have to watch it. But we never say, I've got to go to church. I got to see the Lord's people. We never say, I have to by the Lord. But I got to watch Sex and the City. I got to watch it. Why do you have to watch it? You don't have to watch it. And we let people spoon us into doing all this frivolous stuff. But when it comes to living out the scriptures, listen, man, I know the Bible says that you ought to love your wife. But you think you're loving her too hard? What? Now, look in that rib. I know the Bible says. I know the Bible says that you're supposed to forsake not the assembly. But you think y'all coming together too much? You always on a Zoom. I mean, anything coming to your faith, people like they question. But anything else, man, let's listen. You want a boat? He ain't never driven a boat. Let's go buy a boat. Let's go get some jet skis. He ain't never been on the water before. Can't even swim. But we allow people to push us to do things, and we don't have folks in our lives that are pushing us towards the excellency of our walk with the Lord. This man came back with a loud voice praising God. See, the sad thing is we get spiritual amnesia real quick. We forget about how deep in sin we were. We forget about all the pain that kept us up half the night crying because we felt alone and lonely. We felt thrown out. And we forget about all that God brought us to. And we start looking at people all of a sudden. You see, when we were in pain, we were not concerned about who brought the antidote. We just wanted some help. When you are really in pain, when you're hungry, you don't care who brings the food. You're just hungry. But after you get a little food in your stomach, you start thinking more of yourself than you should, and you begin to get silent and giving God thanks because it's only been because of the powerful hands of God. And here this man is. He's the one that decides, after seeing that he's cleansed, comes back and gives God thanks, so much so that he throws himself at the feet of Jesus. Y'all, this is a great position of worship. That he throws himself there at Jesus' feet because he recognized what the high priest has done for him. He was not confused that as he was walking, some dust came up on his feet, and that dust is what healed him. See, we give a whole lot of stuff credit that credit is not due. He wasn't confused, and as he was walking, some wind blew, and he had to give thanks for the wind that healed him. No, he was not confused. He knew that his healing had come from Jesus. And I want to challenge us to know this morning that what you have been given, giving credit to things that are not due. The credit belongs to the Lord and to the Lord alone. And he throws himself at his feet. And what made this even more interesting for Jesus is that this man was a Samaritan. How does he know how to worship God? The Samaritans don't know who God is. They don't know what they worship in Gerizim. They didn't worship there in Jerusalem. They didn't know how to worship. So listen, you don't have to be trained in worship school to learn how to worship God. You learn how to worship by focusing your heart and turning everything you have towards him, even if it means throwing yourself at the feet of Jesus, throwing yourself on the altar. If that's your obedience to God, you better start throwing yourself. Because I guarantee nobody in your denomination or your church healed you. It was only God. Nobody has been paying your bills. It has not been your job. It's been God who is our provision. So all of us have a reason to give him thanks on today. Look at the text. We're going to make up nothing. And he was a Samaritan. We've seen many people turn back and do a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, we have been taught don't turn back. We've been taught once you hear from God, go forward, young man, go forward. Don't you turn back for nothing. Keep your eye on the prize. And head fast. Go fast, go furious, go hard. Listen, it's okay to turn back when you turn back to the right person to say the right thing. This man didn't turn back to go back and pick up his dirty clothes that he left. No. He turned back to give God thanks. He turned back to worship God. You see, what happens is people want to put us and they want to put our praise in a pot. They want to put our praise in a certain area with a lid on it and tell us, and they tell, you know what they tell you? They tell you, you know, it don't take all that. Has anybody ever told you all that? They say, now listen, Rev, now I know, but it don't take all that. You seem like you sweating a whole lot. It don't take all that. Just read the Bible and let the Spirit speak to us. It don't take all that. You're getting all hot. Listen, don't you ever let anybody tell you what it takes for you to give God what he wants out of you. You don't know what it takes for me. Because if I want to turn the tide around, I tell you, it don't take all that. You spend a whole lot of money with your broke self. And you don't have enough money at the end of the month to take it. We got to take care of it. I don't tell you don't take all that. So what makes you think you have the gall to come tell me, Mac, you don't take all that? You didn't heal me. You didn't save me. You did not deliver me. You have not been my friend when I felt all by myself. It's been nobody but the Lord. So don't you ever think you can come up to my face and tell me it don't take all that for me to worship God, because you don't know what God has done for me. And if I can stand here with this amount of authority, you have to be in your own place with that amount of authority. I don't care who it is in the family, your friends, nobody can tell you what it takes for you to worship God, because it's only been God that has saved us, delivered us, and been everything to us plus more. I got to move on. Look at verse number 17. Jesus asked, where are all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, arise, go. Your faith has made you well. We're done. I got one last question for you. Are you the one who conquered fear? Are you the one who conquered fear? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Because of the situation, this leper lived in fear. And you say, now, Mac, now where are you going with this? How are you living in fear? Because Jesus says, your faith has made you well. So he was not living in faith at first. He was living in fear at first. Now, we don't know all the backdrops of his fear. We don't know if his fear was just dying, or his fear was losing another limb, or the fear was seeing what his other friends that had leprosy die before him. We don't know all what the fear was. It could have been about food, about hydration. We don't know, but we do know his pain caused him to have fear in his life. And I want us to know that you are not by yourself if your pain has caused you, because you don't know what's getting ready to happen next, to have some fear. Fear is a natural emotion, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, where fear now captures our hearts and it weakens us from being obedient to God. This man, his faith has now pushed him to walk, even though he didn't know how he was going to, if he could even get to the priest, because he didn't know if he was going to lose a limb on his way to the priest. But his life was turning, his faith, his fear was turning from faith to fear, and he walked, he turns back, and Jesus now addresses him. He says, now listen, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? Has no one come to praise God except this foreigner? So here we have this Samaritan. Again, these Samaritans don't understand the God of Israel. They are half-breeds. And so it's because there were some mixed marriages after the 8 BC when Jerusalem was now set free. And so there we have these half-breeds of these Samaritans, that these Jews that married non-Jewish people. And they have their own way of worshiping. If you remember there in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman at the well, she said, your people worship over here. Our people worship over here. They have their own separate thing going on. But this Samaritan honored Jesus enough that he gave to Jesus what Jesus deserved, which was gratitude from his heart. And Jesus poses the question. Then he said to him, listen, man, because I know you have stretched your faith out, I know you have gone against your culture and your religion, rise and go. He had thrown himself at Jesus' feet. Jesus said, all right, I see where your heart is. Now I want you to get up and I want you to go, because now your faith has made you well. Listen, we're going to go down from this place, but I have a question for you. Are you the one that's willing to turn back and allow your fear to be conquered by your faith, to give God what he deserves out of you on this day? I believe God deserves out of you today, because what you have seen him do in your life, in the life of those around you, he deserves not only a spirit of gratitude, but he deserves words of gratitude unto him for what he has done and for who he is. The text says that he turned, one of them came back. And when the one came back, he came back to give thanks unto the Lord. And he gives thanks to God because God has now done, has met his expectation, and has healed him from his leprosy. Even before you can see the healing manifested with your hands, you've got to know that your life is in the hands of God. And God has a healing plan for your life. And for all of us that were once held down by this sin of leprosy, we are now walking in true victory, because sin has now been conquered by the blood of Jesus. Our healing does not say we're not going to have some more sickness on this side, because we're in a dying culture. But it doesn't matter what the doctors say or how we feel. We have been healed by the blood of Jesus. And the challenge for us today, my brothers and sisters, is to walk in that eternal healing. We don't have to wait until the battle is over. We can give God thanks even right now, when we consider the power in his hands, when we consider the might in his voice. We have already been made victorious. So I have to ask a question. Is there anybody listening today, anybody watching today, that you have experienced the power of God in your life? Is there anybody sitting where you are, you have experienced God doing what only God can do? And if you have, I want you to know that nobody did it but God. So why don't you raise your voice as this one leprosy-driven man did. He came back with a loud voice and he began to praise God. So why don't you start praising God for the healing that's happening in your body right now? Yes, I hear you, I hear you, I hear you. Go ahead and praise God for the healing that's happening in your body right now, in your mind. He's bringing it all together. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So we ought to lift our voices and give God thanks today for what he's done for us over 2,000 years ago. He died upon that cross, but early Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hands. You have been healed. Now, what is your response? What is your response today? Knowing that you have been healed by the very hands of God, I believe our response has to be a response of gratitude, a response of thanksgiving. So, Lord, we thank you today. Our hearts are so open to you. No one has taken the pain away but you. No one has relieved us of the anxiety, of the distress in our lives but you. So we give no one else the credit. We give no one else the glory. But all the thanksgiving belongs to you. Right there where you are in the confines of your home. If you don't mind raising your hands up to give God thanks today, in your worship to the Father as an act of your obedience. Let's give him thanks.